Our next guest helped to capture a notorious arms trafficker known as the Merchant of Death. Lou Milioni is a special agent and group supervisor for the Drug Enforcement Administration. And he and his team led the high-stakes undercover investigation that took down Victor Boot, a man who supplied dictators, warlords, and drug cartels. Mr. Milioni's team has earned a spot as a Service to America Medal finalist, and Mr. Milioni himself joins us this morning. Great to have you on.
Good morning. How are you today?
All right. So, first of all, I have to ask that this type of work sounds like you and your team might have actually been in physical danger.
I don't know. I think that would be, a little bit of a reach in the sense of, I guess there's always an element of danger in working these things and working with the undercover operatives. Certainly the targets are very well connected. They're able to corrupt a lot of the authorities in certain places where they work. So there's always an element of that, not something we necessarily focus on, something obviously we're prepared for, but nothing that we really ever felt that we were particularly in any danger.
All right, so tell us about Victor Boot and how your team managed this whole takedown.
Well, it was a relatively long-term investigation. Boot is a notorious arms trafficker, going back to the 80s and the 90s, all the way up into the 2000s, probably one of the world's most significant arms traffickers, one of these kind of shadow facilitators that worked within the seams of the law on the black market, arming conflict zones all over the world, specifically in West Africa and Africa, where he weaponized civil wars, Uganda, Sierra Leone, Liberia, the Democratic Republic of Congo, links to the Taliban, Hezbollah, and certainly the FARC. He had a great ability to get any kind of sophisticated weaponry that was needed, but also the ability to transport it wherever, because he had a fleet of Russian aircraft that would allow him to break sanctions and go to different locations and deliver these weapons to these conflict zones.
Now, the DEA administrator has described you as a tenacious and skilled supervisor. So tell us about your approach to a big problem like this. What are some of the leadership issues that you faced in this investigation?
Well, I mean, that's very nice for her to say that. But I think, as you mentioned in the beginning, this was a total team effort. I mean, there were a lot of people involved in this. And I don't know if I can specifically say I have any particular leadership style or anything, but what I can say is that they're really, really good people that worked on this problem. We worked together. It was a collaboration. We war gamed what were the best solutions to any obstacles that the target threw up in our way, which is common in the investigations that the DEA does, especially internationally and also domestically. And then we just kind of figured out what the best plan of attack was to deal with the obstacle, to adjust to what the target wants, and then to execute that plan, hopefully as quickly and one step ahead of the target.
We're speaking with Lou Milioni. He's special agent and group supervisor at the Drug Enforcement Administration and also a Service to America Medals finalist for his work in taking down Victor Boot. And how much of the work involved in an operation like this is, let's say, kinetic, chasing people, interviewing people on the street, versus how much is done in the office looking at databases and that kind of thing?
Really, there isn't a lot of database analysis. I mean, we have in this case, an excellent analyst, Carol Dillon, who worked with us, and another team of analysts, and we would try to build up as much knowledge about the target as possible. That takes place in the beginning through working with confidential sources or human sources, working with our foreign counterparts. DEA's got one of the largest federal law enforcement presence overseas, so we have the ability to tap into those relationships and build a knowledge base to look at a target, in this case Boot, look at their organization, try to find a vulnerability in that organization, and then attack that vulnerability using sources and, you know, as many aggressive legal investigative techniques as possible. So that's basically what we did, and most of it is out in the field, most if not all of it. Obviously, there's report writing, and you have to work with, in this case, we had great partners in our prosecutors in the Southern District of New York at the U.S. Attorney's Office. So you have that part of it, but most of it is going to be out in the field, whether it's, in this case, in Curacao and jumping from Curacao to Copenhagen, from Copenhagen to Romania, from Romania to Thailand. It's pretty much nonstop with relatively short stops back at our home base in Virginia, where we're located, to kind of process the evidence, go through it, write the reports, and then really figure out what the next move is going to be.
And I was wondering about the weapons, too. You mentioned that this guy had Russian aircraft and so forth. And What about the weapons he was trafficking in? Were those mostly Russian manufactured too? Because I guess what I'm driving at is you have this Rosoboron export company now that's selling Russian arms, and they seem to supply all of these groups around the world. And at some point you come bumping against the sources, which start themselves bumping against a country that, in theory anyway, the United States is allied with.
Well, I can't speak to that company or those links. I know in Boot's case, he used a Bulgarian arms supplier, KAS, CAS Engineering. And, Boot had access because of his kind of criminal associations throughout the world and his very high-level connections in Russia and elsewhere. He had access to whatever weapons he needed, whether they were surface-to-air missiles, as in this case, which he believed were going to be used to kill Americans, or more traditional small arms. But he also had access to, there were discussions with the undercover operatives about radar systems that would be established in Colombia. In this case, we represented ourselves as the FARC drug trafficking terrorist group. So his tentacles obviously ran very deep to a lot of different locations. But in this case, the primary source of the weapons were going to come out of Bulgaria.
Now, you and your team actually are in the running for a Service to America medal. What would you tell other federal employees about the way you lead this is really complicated stuff and potentially dangerous, but what about your approach in this operation? Can other federal employees leading complex operations, whether it's taking down the Merchant of Death or somebody else, learn from this approach?
That is a great question. I don't think we have any secret, sauce to be able to put this together, except that we really love what we're doing. We've got a great group of people that are very, love our country, are committed to doing these kinds of investigations. And I think that if you like what you're doing and you're driven to go after a target because you believe it's the right thing to do and you believe in the rule of law, whatever agency you're in, and even in the private sector, I think working toward that common goal, if you apply a lot of energy and effort, I think you're going to get there and, try to maintain a positive attitude and have a can-do kind of attitude about the whole thing.
And we have to ask, did you confront or speak with Boot personally?
Myself and the other agents, certainly when he was arrested in Thailand, we were on the ground and we had some brief interactions with him. And then we had other interactions throughout the extradition process. So, yes, there were interactions between myself and the other case agents, Wim Brown and Robert Zaharia-Shevitz, throughout the process.
And was he surprised when you nabbed him?
I think anybody, yeah, certainly. Certainly he didn't see this coming, and I think, when the gravity of the whole situation sunk in, he's obviously a very bright guy, very articulate person. He had to process what was happening, when it was happening, and he was certainly surprised.
So it sounds like he had a little bit of that charm that often that level of criminal does.
Well, he certainly had a charm, and again, he very, very intelligent, very, very well-spoken, spoke multiple languages, didn't get to where he was without being very, very manipulative in not necessarily a pejorative sense, but just manipulative in his ability to get things done and see things through.
Well, we can all sleep a little better now, I guess, that he's behind bars.
We certainly are pleased that things worked out and that he was, we had a trial with him. He was convicted. He was sentenced. His level of connections, his sophistication, his network, taking him out of the picture, especially because he had such a great transportation network. It does definitely give us a rewarding feeling. But that being said, I think a lot of the NGO, a lot of the non-governmental organizations that are working throughout the world, Oxfam and some of the others that focus on weapons trafficking and the seams that these kinds of individuals like Boot work in, they're doing very important work trying to bolster the laws and trying to go after those kinds of individuals. So there are more of them out there, but we don't think of any of them that are going to be as sophisticated as Boot, at least at this time.